Joining me in the studio is the Minister for Aboriginal Affairs, the Honourable Nigel Scullion. Thanks for making the time to drop in and say hello.
Absolute pleasure to be here with Black Star.
Look, Nigel, you're pretty busy. You're covering a fair bit of territory these days, right across the country, trying to keep up with it. It must be hard to keep your hand on all the things that are happening right across. I mean, it's all of Australia. It's not like you've got a little electorate here.
No, that's right. It is challenging, but you're right. I do spend the vast majority of my time is sitting down in communities or in towns like Cairns, talking to people about the sort of not only the challenges that they're facing, but what they think the solutions are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're much more focused on providing solutions that everybody understands now. And I think that's a great step forward. Probably over the last 2 years, I think we've had a much greater focus on this is our problem, so what's our solution going to be? And so I think things are getting better in that regard. It is a big place. In each of those places, I like to try to establish a sort of spot where people can come and meet me when I'm in town, and they can come and talk to me about a number of things. Sometimes they think people want to say, listen, I've got a good idea to fix this, or what if we had one of those, and, you know, this isn't right. You know, Auntie's sick and we can't do this, and we're dealing with government departments and it's horrific, and they won't talk and we sit for seven. So at the moment I've just come back from the lands at the top end of South Australia, very, very remote areas. And we've got people there ringing Centrelink from CDP office, and we've actually had the phone lie there, and I've had one of my people come and sit next to the phone because nobody else can stand it. It goes for 7 hours. You know, and people are supposed to be able to have a response. So but it's big. Then I can act. You know, so I've got to be there, and I've got to have my people there looking for this stuff. And now people know. Just go and see Nige, go and see his mob, talk to them. Most of my mob who work for me are countrymen anyway, so they're pretty comfortable talking to them. Just say, this is happening, this is silly. And it's my job not only to provide policies and programs. It's my job to champion the mob, and so the only way you can really champion the mob is if you understand what their needs are and what they think the solutions are. And so, yes, it is tough moving around the country, mate, but that's a prime part of the job.
Right. One idea that has come in my mind recently, because I collect a lot of good news stories from around the country that never make mainstream media, but they might be in a regional place here. You know, like, for instance, the Wiggles recently were in Yarrabah. Now, that's going to go worldwide. If there was a Facebook page or a government site where all these stories could be fed into, people might get a different idea of what's really happening in Indigenous Australia.
Yeah, well, they could, mate. But I have to say, mainstream media, and it's our fault. I mean, Australia seems to have an appetite for disaster and, you know, depression and stories about misery and things that have gone wrong. They say to government, oh, well, if you want to advertise, you'll have to pay us money to run the good stories, mate. So that's a tragedy the way it's run. I think it's been run that way for a long time. I shake my head. I think that the Fourth Estate really need to pull their socks up in this particular area. They've made a great inroad in terms of things like understanding about suicide, how they talk about it, what the language is like, and to their great credit, they have understood and taken responsibility in that area. I don't care what they do in other areas of portfolios, but it would be tremendous to be able to, and I'm not under attack at all, or the government isn't, I think we're doing fine, but it's about convincing them that there are a lot, the language you use about community, about what community's doing, is part of the deal. If you deal with them in the same way you deal with mainstream Australia, who have an appetite for misery, that's not what the communities say. They've got an appetite for a bit of positive stuff. They want to hear that other communities that they're deeply connected to, wherever they are in Australia, that there's something positive happening.
Maybe just even a Facebook page that the government supports and employs somebody to, you know, monitor it and collect all those stories from across the country, possibly.
It sounds like a good idea. Look, what I'll do, as always, I won't say I'll have a look at it because I'll be a mirror man, but we'll do something about it, and it'll be a yes or a no, mate, but it'll be a couple of weeks. But I'll be back. I'm in and out of here. In the next couple of weeks, I'll be back. We'll drop in again and have a bit of a yarn about it.
Fantastic. Look, something that's been on your mind just a little bit lately, the traditional hunting?
Yes, I've just been giving out certificates for the very first rangers who are now at a diploma level have got enforcement powers, the same enforcement powers as a ranger or a police officer who's got the powers under the Wildlife Act in Queensland. So we don't have a gammon ranger, this passive racism. Oh, why can't Aboriginal rangers pull people over? Oh, to, you know, the normal rubbish and gammon we get. So now I've insisted for some time. We've now these are the ones who've completed the programs. There's plenty going to be coming through. So when I was giving those out, I mean, there was some concern about these discussions by people about banning traditional hunting of dugong and turtle and stories about cruelty and all these. Now, I've looked into those things and I have to say I take a very dim view of people making up stories about my mob. Traditional hunting has happened for a very long time. There is no waste, and the cultural authority has always insisted that it's sustainable. There is no evidence that says that sustainable use of turtles or dugong in the context and the area in Australia is unsustainable. There is no evidence anywhere. And so there's a bit of a push apparently on, they talked to me about websites, and I think Ms. Irwin's got involved as a high-profile individual, and whilst I respect her views and passion about protecting wildlife, particularly iconic wildlife, it's really important that we respect the culture of our first Australians. Yeah, they take dugongs and turtles sustainably, and it's an integral part of their culture. And I stood together with the chairman of the Great Barrier Reef Marine Park Authority, and we're able to say that we're not joining that bandwagon. In quite the contrary, I'm drawing a line in the sand, and we can't countenance the sort of rubbish that is rolled out about traditional hunting. Everyone should make sure that we correct the record when we're seeing or hearing gammon stories about what traditional hunting's about.
You've also released a media release just recently with a tailored support for Indigenous university students as well.
Indeed, there's a couple of things that have happened. What we knew that more and more university students were enrolling, but we weren't getting the same increase in the numbers completing. So we did two things. We want the universities to pay attention. We want them to focus on the money we give them to assist Indigenous students to get through. So instead of paying them at the start, they don't care then. Like, I'm not saying that's evil, but that's just a way of life. So what we do, we only pay part of it then.
Yeah.
We pay part of it in the middle and we pay a bit more at the end. And the other thing we're doing, we're making it very flexible. So these Indigenous support units have more flexibility. No individual's up to the same place at the same time. We need to make it flexible. Some people need a lot more tuition at a particular time, but they're rocket scientists at some other subject and they don't need it. So instead of just saying, oh, you're fixed them out, some people might just say, listen, I really don't get this. I'm going to have to go away and do another 4 weeks of tuition specialised. Well, they should be able to do that. We should have the practical application to have all the tools available to make sure people get through. But there's a remarkable number of Indigenous people now completing university, going on to becoming doctors and lawyers and politicians. At every level of the community, you're seeing Aboriginal people more and more represented, and I just think it's fantastic. The diversity and the strength they bring to our community is just wonderful.
I saw, an Indigenous IT mob that's been awarded government contract after government contract, really big bucks, and they're doing it in style. And people don't realise the amount of talent that there is, you know, on the ground and able to, you know, fly a Boeing 747 or whatever.
Well, that's exactly right. And one of the things that I've done, and yes, I'm very proud of this and I'm proud the mob's backed me up, I've said, well, everybody's got to buy Indigenous. Local and Indigenous. So we've got the government procurement policy. 12 months ago, the Commonwealth government purchased nearly $6.2 million worth of stuff off Indigenous people. And they were saying, oh, that's really good. And I said, well, I don't think it's good enough. So we've started an Indigenous procurement policy where I've put targets and I've basically said the secretary of every department is going to have how he went on my public website. It's there now. But they're all pretty proud, and they've now just passed $278 million in 11 months. And that's because we've got to stand up and we've got to be fair dinkum, put the gammon out of it, and we've just got to stop cuddling up to each other. Like, I don't think I've made a lot of friends by necessarily doing this across the government, but they've now realised that they can do it, and they've been absolute champions. And that's going to go from strength to strength. And what I want to see is the demand for Indigenous employment is so much, and the demand for Indigenous procurement is so much. It's a bit like at the peak of the mining boom, trying to find a plumbing organisation or a tradesman. It's just very hard. When you do, you've got to pay for it. And that's how it should be all the time. So we've got to make sure we back that in with people going through university. Back that in by making sure people go to school. Back that in with ensuring that everybody knows if you want to do business with the Commonwealth, then you better be doing business with Indigenous Australians.
Look, one last one. It's a good news question. Good news question, really, and that is we spoke a little bit before about the Wiggles, but also the guy that's behind all that. He's also the low teacher language other than English in Yarrabah, and his language coming back into schools in many, many places across the country. That must be something that warms your heart.
Well, it does. I mean, you can't disconnect culture and language and land and community and family. They all go together. But if you're weak in one way, that means others have to be stronger. So having language returned, and language without a language, culture is very hard to hang on to it. And language is the binding part of that culture. So people relearning their language. Other people, Australians, non-Indigenous Australians, learning a language, the respect for culture. I think it's just fantastic that we're seeing this resurgence. I've been in Yarrabah a few times lately, and I think it's pumping along very well. I think it's an outstanding school there. But to have the kids so fluent and so delighted to be able to immerse themselves in their own language and therefore their own culture throughout their day, and their pride in they know intuitively that their efforts at learning and recapturing their language means that the next generation will all have language and all have culture. And the older people are saying, well, isn't that a relief? Because that's my job. And here it is in front of me being done.
Senator Nigel Scullion, thank you so much for coming in and sharing some time with us right here.
Absolutely delight to be back again on Black Star.
Thank you.